Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes, I'm sorry, Father. You were largely correct in those.
Yeah, always correct. Yeah.
Anyway.
Welcome to AE Double Back, the lowest energy wrestling podcast on the internet. Well, we start every episode with a deep, heartfelt sigh back to our parents and our lost loved ones. It's
we reflect.
Yeah.
Finally, the energy level of this podcast is coming to me.
We trade off. We trade off energy levels.
You know, sometimes things are crazy. I have a stomach ache because I did that thing where you buy groceries and immediately eat the junkiest shit first.
Oh, you got to. You have to.
I'm like, yes, why do I do that? And then it's gone. And I get a stomach ache because I'm an idiot and didn't make it last. I replaced all food with just this junk.
No, I will counter that with the one where you eat like some of your junky food and then leave the rest because you got to save it. You got to spread it out. You can't just eat it all at once. And then you save it long enough until it like gets stale and old. And you're like, God damn it. Mm. I wasted like half a bag of Oreos because I was waiting too long. And
Mr. Picky won't eat bad Oreos.
Oh, my God. One time my grandma gave us an Oreo that she had had in the freezer, I guess. And it was – or no, she had it in the pantry. She had this huge cellar pantry that went –
Which
like,
is it? Is it a freezer? Is it a pantry? Is it a cellar pantry? Make up your mind, you liar.
I was thinking it was the freezer, but this was off the pantry shelf. And I know this because she had like – She grew up in the Depression, so like they had this cellar pantry that was like stocked with stuff, and they never touched half that shit. And then so there was these Oreos sitting on that shelf, and as a kid, you're like, if I go downstairs, I'll walk by these Oreos, and I want these Oreos that my grandma never lets us eat. So one day she decided to give us some, and they were so old. They were kind of mushy on the outside, and the cream part was hard. And I mean, gross.
Well, isn't that just like
I still ate it though, because it's a cookie.
I mean, you got.
Isn't that just like human nature that the parts of you that are one way become the other, and the parts of you that are the other way become the other way?
Oreo is a metaphor for life. Thank you, Calder, for bringing it back down to Calder levels of energy. We're just getting excited talking about cookies. Yes, but mortality is in that cookie.
That's right, yeah.
The question of life exists within the Oreo. I wonder if cookie jars keep cookies from going stale.
Of course not. 0%. No, because they're not
good.
No, they've got a lid so that parents can hear kids when they try and reach for the cookies.
Clank, clank, clank. But there are some, I'm sure, that have like the rubber that make it like fit tight.
Some of them. Sure. And those are fine.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's not all of them. That's not what a cookie jar is.
No, I mean, I think ideally you gobble all the cookies before there's even a risk.
Yeah, I mean, with my dad around, you'll be like, what cookies? We just made two batches. I don't see them. I guess we didn't.
You know who likes bacon cookies? Penta and Jay White. Don't actually know if they like to bake, but I feel like Penta, he's got those gloves, so he's already ready to pull things out of the oven.
I bet they like cookies.
I bet they love cookies.
I mean, their abs don't say it, but whatever.
Yeah, probably not. Jay White probably just eats hard tack.
Like rice cakes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. When he gets to have a rice cake, I bet that's his real treat.
That is like his cake. That's
a rice cake with peanut butter. Ooh.
Oh, my. You naughty thing.
I remember. Oh, never mind. I'm just going to stop there.
I remember one time I was letting a dog lick peanut butter off my balls.
No.
Oh, you did that, champ?
This was that's my Teresa voice, in case you're wondering.
Oh, but when I tell other people, you said off my balls as though you had balls, because you know I don't.
That is also, again, my Teresa voice. When I tell people about you, I'm like, yeah, I was hanging out with this girl, and she was like, I was getting a lick, ball licking. And
you sound like the way I talk like guys. Girls all have the same guy voice.
I think guys all have the same girl voice.
That feels a little racist. I don't know quite where that came from, but.
Well, I don't know. That's my impression of guys doing a girl voice.
My soprano.
Oh, God. All right. Penta J. White. I love Penta so much. I love Penta so much, and I love it when he goes like full foot soldier samurai, and this was that outfit, and I just love it so much.
Yep, yep.
My absolute favorite part of the segment was the part where he's like strip teasing his stuff off.
The traps?
Yeah, not like where he's slowly removing the glove.
Oh yeah, that's always the thing.
And the best part was he tosses it like real high out of the ring Alex Abrahantes. Taz says quickly, "I hope he misses it." Then, damn it.
yes just the little turns of heel phrase for Taz are a delight always. But then also he takes off his shirt too, because let's go, let's chop the hell out of each other.
That was fun.
It
was like Jay White was getting his chest caved in, which is so funny because he's done a lot of this in Japan. Thank you, Jay, for selling it.
Yeah, it's nice to see different levels of selling, because you don't want to completely no sell, or when you do, you just do it a couple times. Penta just does it a couple times. Jay does like this real cringy kind of thing. Eddie will, take the shot and and his chest pops back out, and like, do your own thing, man. Do your own thing.
I thought this was an awesome match.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Dude,
Penta did this one spinning brain buster something. And I'm I've never seen that before. That was amazing.
It looked really fucking crazy. And I was like, wait a minute. Did he actually hurt him for a sec? But no, he was fine because he kicked right out. But. It looked really fucking wild, man.
Oh, yeah.
I just love these guys. And it's cool to see, again, a thing about a company is you got all these different guys, and maybe they hadn't wrestled against each other on TV before. I'm sure in their past somewhere they had. But I don't remember ever seeing Jay White against Penta before. Do you?
Nope.
So how awesome is this, right? Yep. You get to see two of these incredible performers doing their thing. They're both great. It's cool. It's cool, and man.
Also, if anybody was pissed about last week's opening segment, which felt like a Raw, let's just go ahead and say it. Mm-hmm. Everybody comes out and everybody's talking, and generally I will thumb that kind of thing down. I will boo that thing. But because 9 out of 10 episodes start like this with an amazing friggin' match, sometimes with people we've never seen wrestle against each other. And I'm just getting right into it. Yeah. Every once in a while, do that just full on talking thing, mix it up. It's a perfect, as far as I'm concerned, their opening segments are always stellar.
I'm rarely disappointed. Rarely.
This was not one of those times.
No, it was
after Jay White wins.
Yeah, after Jay White wins, he cuts a promo. And Juice Robinson comes out. Juice Robinson got a cubic zirconia ring from TJ Maxx.
Cubic zirconium.
Zirconium.
He keeps mispronouncing words in a way that delights me.
I couldn't even pin down. Like after the fact, I was trying to write it down, and what I wrote down was Zacharium. I couldn't remember what he said.
Well, yes, it was just wrong in such a perfect way.
But the fact that the crowd starts chanting TJ Maxx, dude, I just love wrestling. Dude.
Juice Robinson, when he came in, I was super underwhelmed. I was not expecting anything from him. I'm like, I guess his stuff goes over better in Japan, you know, as a foreigner, whatever. Okay. But now, oh, God, love him. He is just the best. Yeah,
I didn't know what to think of him when Juice Robinson first showed up at AEW. But boy, oh boy, am I glad that AEW didn't listen to me. They're like, no. You don't know yet. This guy's great.
I think it's something that's kind of interesting is that sometimes seems as though the people who come in really hot end up cooling down and getting disused or whatever, and the people who come in underestimated or initially perceived as not great then come and surprise you. It's often a reverse of how it initially seems one way or the other.
Like Daniel Honestly, Garcia.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't like him at first, but man, I think he's great now.
Like WWE often brings people in and it feels like they're shoving them down your throat. Whereas AEW will sort of let them be what they are. And I think probably the percentages are roughly the same, like the people that get over, because, you know, someone who's truly great is going to get over wherever. They'll figure it out. It's just a different style. WWE wants one particular thing, which is a conveyor belt that is consistent and makes lots and lots of money. And so everybody has to do this one particular thing. And AEW just sort of
doctors hate it.
And doctors hate it. But AEW, it feels a little scattershot sometimes because they let people do what they're going to do. And that's sometimes good and sometimes bad. But, you know, hey, to each their own.
I thumbs this up.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, me too.
We've got Renee Paquette talking to MJF. MJF smiling. real MJF. Smiles. And it's so funny because he knows when it's a shitty smile.
Yeah.
Right? I just love it. Like, he knows when he's doing a weird smile and when he's doing a regular smile. Anyway, this was fantastic. This whole promo was amazing. Left hand of God versus right hand of the devil. Damn, dude. The Acclaimed interrupt and again try to propose being tag partners. MJF is like, oh, you want a scissor? No way. And he walks away. And they're like, we talked about this. You're coming on too strong. And the other guy's like, oh man, what a scumbag. And he's like, but he's my scumbag. It was cute.
I think I'm starting to dial into what this thing is, because at first it felt like a weird sort of Roddy Strong jealousy sort of thing. And then sort of like a weird stalker kind of thing. But I think the right level here is him just being kind of like an impish goof. And he's just having his own fun, just being kind of like a mischievous. And it pisses off MJF. And you go at that level, I'm like, okay, yes, this is fun to watch. But when you sort of like dial it up a little higher into like, I need to be inside you, then we're out. So, yeah, we'll see.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Let's see. Dum, 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 dum.
Sheeda.
Oh, yeah. It's a thumbs up. I'm sorry. Thumbs up?
Oh, yeah. Thumbs up.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got a recap of Shida's win and the relationship with Emi Sakura, because we have a match with Emi Sakura and Hikaru Shida.
Look, well, if you need to get right. people over who aren't great talkers in English, I can do one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Just do one of these. It's yeah. great, and it's quick, and I'm like, yes, I am now emotionally invested in this match. There are reasons for this match, and you've told me what story you're going to tell. You tell it very well, because they're both great.
And Emmy's, I love Emi Sakura.
Yeah.
She's oh, so yeah. good.
Yep, yep, yep.
It's a good match.
Yeah.
I get why we don't see her as often, but I really would like to see her more often.
Yeah. And
I would really like them to give frickin' Rampage to a women's division.
Or something, because it was still the only women's match we got. And though it wasn't in the sleepiest spot of the night, they it still was it only first one.
Quarter hour. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like even though they went long, like that didn't affect the women in any way.
No, exactly. They're like, wait, we have to let somebody say three more sentences. Man must speak three more sentences. Sorry. What else? Yeah, this was an awesome match. I don't even know what else to say about it. I was very happy with it. I was thinking to myself how I wish we saw Emmy more often, or, you know, I mean, if I think too long about it, then I start getting all upset about how I don't see any of the women very often, but, you know,
yeah.
So, yeah,
this was a really cool match. It got the Joshi, style, mm-hmm. you know, two women who really know how to work it well. And so it was just a lot of great stuff.
It's fucking cool, man. Yeah. And how's about this, that the Stardom subscription has more subscriptions than any other wrestling subscription? Is
biggest,
that right?
YouTube subscriber base.
Like out of any Japanese promotion, or what was it?
It looked like it was up against all promotions.
Okay.
Could be wrong. It was a million. I think it said.
Calder, you were the one that sent us this link.
I did.
What was it?
I don't remember anymore. I sent a lot of stuff.
That's very true.
But yeah, they have a million subscribers. It's more than almost. I can't believe that it's larger than WWE, so it must be like the largest subscriber base of any other wrestling promotion in the world, something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty significant.
Oh, yeah. The first Japanese pro wrestling. I found it. Yeah, first Japanese promotion.
Okay. Great.
Because Stardom is ahead of New Japan, and then there are several others that are in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Ahead of New Japan.
Yeah.
Stardom's great. Deal.
Yeah.
I really wish they would give them English announcers.
Yeah, like you very occasionally get English stuff from Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling, but Stardom doesn't really do that.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Just people want to see it is, you know, all we're Thank ever you. Trying to say.
Oh, I forgot that that one Joshi, I'm using air quotes here, promotion that did a show in New York. I guess they originally posted their entire show on TikTok, and now it's on YouTube. So, like, that's who their that's their target demo. Good on them. I do want to watch it, but I keep forgetting about it.
And there's so much out there that even the stuff you most want to watch is hard to find time for.
Yeah.
So I gave this match a big thumbs up.
Same.
We've got Renee Paquette talking to Adam Copeland, otherwise known as Edge in a previous life.
I keep saying Edge in my head, and I write it down in my notes as Edge, and I'm like, oh, no, we met Copeland.
Yeah, I do too. It's easier to remember.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
I don't know. Maybe because there's 800,000 Adams in this goddamn promotion.
Sort of.
And One of the fucking nicknames that he got a trademark for is Cope. Cool. Just like Adam Cope. No way we can confuse that with anybody, right? Adam Cole. Jesus Christ.
I didn't have any problem just writing down Copeland.
Well, good for you, Calder.
Thank you. God, thank you.
It's the small things in life sometimes.
A little thank you every now and then.
Yeah.
A little congratulations.
Yeah, you know. So basically, Edge, Adam Copeland, whatever, is telling some weird story of his life.
Weird.
Yeah, it was weird. Just about this essay contest, and if you had the very best essay, you would win, wrestling training. And so just skating past the fact that, like, there's probably a lot of entries, and he won the thing, the wrestling thing. Mm-hmm. God damn it.
Training.
The training.
No, the wrestling thing is fine. It's fine.
Wrestling thing.
It's been a week already. I don't know. Then he's like, Christian's always been jealous ever since then, because Christian never even entered, didn't even bother to send in an essay. Therefore, he's a lazy sack of shit.
I don't feel like that was the tone of it.
Adam Copeland is dragged into the business.
Okay, that's
and it. If it wasn't for Adam, Christian Kate and Adam constantly, everywhere he goes, asking the people in charge to take a look at his buddy, that Christian Cage would not be where he is today.
He would be sitting in Canada doing IT.
That's what he said. And it's like strong words, strong, untrue words.
Big if true.
What you guys think?
It was an interesting segment. It was a good. I think Chan would maybe talk about how it's in this setting where you know there's not going to be any shenanigans, so that you can just sort of focus on the story being told, and so that was kind of nice.
You missed the shenanigans, didn't you?
No, I just think that this was incorrectly timed. Like, for the place that this feud is at, we don't need the soft emotional moment. Like, I remember when, we were young and, we were best friends, and then came the betrayal, or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is the part where we still need to sort of be, I don't know what. Because, right now, Copeland is befuddled. He doesn't know what's happening, and, Edge is just being a huge jerk. Honestly, I don't want to see this at all. I would have rather have seen wrestling in this slot. You save this exact interview for, I guess, after they've already met in the ring for the first time.
Yeah.
And then, because we need an up and down, to kind of move us along, and this is
down.
Yeah. It was fine. It just shouldn't have been here, so I kind of middled it because right place, wrong time.
But if they had all this time, they'd have time for another women's match, and that just can't be.
You're right. That is my fault. I wasn't thinking. I don't know. That's-
but yeah, I agree with this. Like, I don't really need to see this. I already saw on his face and understood last week what was going on. So further description is just sort of overkill. in this moment. Like, this would be nice if it was like face to face confrontation or whatever. But I don't know. They're just trying to explain what it could be that's pissing off Christian Cage. And it's like, it doesn't matter. I don't care. Does anyone fucking care? The only person that cares is Adam Copeland, but we know he doesn't really care because it's wrestling. So let's just get to the good stuff.
Teresa wants the money shot. That's always the way.
That's I paid my price of admission.
I paid my price into the filthy rundown theater with sticky floors. Let me get in there and watch some sex.
Oh, this shit is really funny though. When people, like young people, are like, "Oh, I can't believe like Paul Rubens got caught in an adult theater." And it's like, there was a time when the only way you could see porn was in an adult theater. And it's not like nobody knew. It's not like it was like a hidden place. It was openly an adult theater and porn was being shown and people watching porn were there. So, yeah. And they're like, "Oh, I can't believe," like they think it's just like some regular movie that he was jerking off on. And it's like, no. And in fact, he wasn't the only one, I am sure.
No, he wasn't.
I'm sure that's true.
You know, but he just happened to be famous.
And here's the thing. It didn't bother me in the slightest when it happened.
Not me either.
And I still went to see his stuff.
Of course I did. Yeah.
He didn't get to do much stuff for a long time, which is a goddamn shame. Because, like, yeah, that's what the fucking porn theater's for. Jesus. Yeah.
It's not like he did it in front of kids.
Yeah. It's fucking
at a fucking Beetlejuice musical.
Yeah, you really have to be a member of Congress to be allowed to do it.
Yeah.
There were acts of Congress going on.
On the screen.
You see what I did there? It was a word.
And I backed you up by saying on the screen.
Yeah, sexual Calder Congress. Was not jumping in.
I get it. I quietly appreciated it.
Too late. You loudly clap and applaud when I make very bad puns like that.
Oh, okay. Well, now that we know the rules. Okay.
What did you thumb this, goddammit?
I thumbed it up.
I middled it.
Interesting.
All right.
Interesting. Then. Loyalties are all on the table.
We've got Wardlow. And guess what? He's up against Ryan Nemeth.
Hollywood Hub.
We love ourselves some Ryan Nemeth.
Yes, we do. Oh, that's but why
Wardlow does not.
I was like, oh no.
No, Wardlow does not. Yeah, he did one power bomb and the ref called it off.
Yeah.
Dun dun dun.
I mean, like the least you can say is that Ryan Nemeth got to attempt some offense, but you know, pretty briefly, and to little effect.
I mean, on the one hand, you know, like why I was so mad about Matt Sydal, like that's what Ryan Nemeth is there for.
Yeah.
You love him, and also that's his job.
Right.
That being said, as part of taking this as an entire piece, this whole Wardlow push, one powerbomb and the ref calling it off, I felt my fingers clench, my thumb pop up, and my wrist just inexorably turning, sliding towards the ground.
Oh, no.
The noise coming out of my mouth was this long, slow.
the theatricality really conveys it.
Yeah.
I
agree with that. It would have been, I don't know. It's hard for me to get into Wardlow. I don't know why. And I feel bad about it. I do.
I do
like,
too.
I feel a lot of guilt.
Especially because we had Lance Archer coming up later, and largely the same deal.
I know. It's really frustrating.
Yeah. And I got nothing against the guy. No. Wardlow, the person.
Wardlow, the man, the myth, the legend.
Decent. No, not the myth or the legend. The man. I don't have anything against him. And it's not like I'm like, get off my TV. Just like this thing, the way they're doing it, is not clicking with me.
Yeah. But
where are you on the myth and the legend?
Fair to Midland. Okay. I'm willing to give it some time.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just wasn't sure. It looked like he gave Ryan Nemeth a wedgie because he lifts him up like by that. His trunks.
It did look like that.
Shivani then runs in. Mm-hmm. And because he wants to talk to Wardlow, but Wardlow, he's like, so why are you back? What are you here for? And it's like, duh, why is anyone here? Because they want a belt of some sort. And so on Wardlow's wrist tape, he had wrote MJF, I'm assuming for inspiration. And Shivani's like, oh, MJF. And then Wardlow walks away and he pushes Shivani down.
Yeah.
Like, dickhead. And then the crowd's booing him. So this could be, and Wardlow says not a word, right? And then walks out. So this potentially could be a way to change the energy around Wardlow and have him do some kind of heel stuff.
Sure.
I don't know.
If he did, and I'll just go ahead and talk about it now. Like, Lance Archer, his whole thing is like just indiscriminate violence.
Yeah.
Like, he was doing that thing where he was like clearing out the locker rooms just because. Mm-hmm. And if Wardlow started going down that route, you know, then you'd be like, oh, I see. Yeah, he's got an edge to him. He's a heel, but also, you know, he's going after MJF, and you know, it sort of makes sense. But also, if you have Lance Archer on the very same episode,
he's
doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating for sure.
Whoa. Yeah, I middled this one. It was not a super strong squash.
Yeah, I gave it a no because you know what, man, don't push Shivani down.
That was your main beef?
Yeah. I'm like, look at him. He's like, you know, like my dad or my uncle. And it's like, nah, man, no.
Stop pushing my dad.
Yeah. Renee Paquette, again, she's talking to Kenny Omega about Kyle Fletcher. Sorry, I knew that when I wrote it down. And then as I start speaking, I'm like, you don't know his name. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, yes, Kyle Fletcher. And then it was really great. Okay. So MJF walks in. And there is this meeting of the minds of MJF and Kenny Omega. And in that moment, I'm just like, oh my fucking God, I want this match so bad, so bad. And MJF whispers into Kenny Omega's ear, 13 days, which we find out later means 13 days to beat Omega's record for long title reign.
Mm-hmm. Longest, even.
Longest.
Long. Mm-hmm. Well, long is good enough. I think you get the point.
Because, you know, when Kenny had the belt, it felt like years. But of course, at that moment, I think we were still stuck in like COVID territory and lockdown territory. I mean, I think we were out of it, but barely.
Mm-hmm.
Barely. So, you know.
Speaking of whispers, when the tech screws up, I'm going to call it out. When the tech does a fantastic job, I'm also going to mention it, because they got him mm-hmm. very clearly and audibly without like boosting the levels up. So all of a sudden, like, you know, all of the background noise also comes. Mm-hmm. They got him whispering 13 days, bitch, in his ear.
He also did a decent stage whisper. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, all of that combined worked together. And I appreciate it, because they were going for an effect and they achieved it.
And probably Jesus was a factor, too.
Jesus was the co-pilot. So, and also, I think he was the lens puller. So.
When the tech looks back at the beach and only sees a single set of footprints. A
single set of tracks for the dolly.
A single cord. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it got a big thumbs up for me.
Oh, absolutely. This is great. Yeah.
I did middle it just because, like, you know, it was Kenny Omega talking and then, you know, MJF saying a thing and like,
it did not electrify you to see these two men talking.
It was a moment.
Yeah.
To
like see the reality of what could be.
This is interesting to me because I have never really had them in the same headspace.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because yeah, MJF was like championship material, but sort of on a different level. Kind mm-hmm. of like second tier, you know, TNT championship kind of thing. And, you know, the Elite, obviously, they're the people who created the goddamn company. And so, you know, they're only going to be playing around with people who've been doing this for, you know, 30 years and other, you know, made their bones in other companies and other, you know.
Yeah, yeah. We get your point. Now you make yours.
So now that he has finally gotten to that point and now they're together, I guess it still hasn't quite sunk in for my brain that like, oh wow, this is a thing that has never happened and will happen. And very excited. I think it's just that it still feels like a year off to me. Huh. Like, we're not going to see this match happen for a long time.
I don't know, man. I wonder. We might. I mean, Kenny Omega is like, you know, sorry, MJF. Kenny Omega's a better wrestler. Yeah. And we know this. I'm not saying that MJF hasn't shown off some skill, especially lately. And he's definitely growing in a lot of other ways. But I still want to see these two. And I want to see, what does it look like? What does an MJF style match look like against someone like Kenny Omega, who, you know, has his own style, has his own like craziness in the ring, you know? God, I don't know. It just makes me really, really excited.
Yeah, it could be very cool.
Yeah.
I get you. Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, so the next thing is we got a song about Neck Strong. Adam and Roddy.
What is that band? Is that Trapped? T-R-A-P-T?
What?
I think it is. I think so.
There was a... this was my days as a DJ on an active rock station. Hmm. And this song that he's parodying, Headstrong, was played incessantly. And is Trapped. T-R-A-P-T, as one would expect from the early 2000s. It was... god awful. And so them doing it with bongos was fantastic. I very much urge you to go out and not watch the video.
Okay.
It is terrible. I won't.
Okay. Yeah. It's not a problem.
No problem. I'm just so over this. Really? Yeah. I wasn't having a good time. I didn't find the sandwich making bit very fun.
Oh, wow.
Did you just want a sandwich? Was that the problem?
No, I just was like, I mean, I feel like it's the same joke, but they did it better the first time, you know? Mm-hmm. The couch moving was the best one,
mm-hmm.
Which they fucked up the audio on, but like it was still the best one out of any of these. So, you know, I was just bored with it, and it just eats up time. So what I want is for Adam to be – to never talk to him again, to, like, never talk to him again. And we finally got to the place where Adam's pissed off and he's going to leave. Okay, great. Finally. He could have done this, like, a week ago at least. But it's definitely – we're here. I'm happy about it. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Now Roderick wants to, he says the only way to get his best friend back is to be nice to MJF. And it's like, yeah, you think? You fucking asshole. You know? MJF is at least respecting Adam's choices of friends. And it's going to be cool. You know? Anyway.
I definitely felt like you for most of this. It's gone on too long. The reality where he's like, I haven't talked to MJF in weeks and I have to get, you know, the surgery. I'm like, these things that you're doing, these physical things that you're doing would take, you know, 10 minutes or an hour or something like that. How have you literally been in his house for these multiple weeks that we're watching on Dynamite, you know, that happens once a week? It just felt really weird in a way that stopped feeling cartoony, goofy like last week. And it was just like, this is too much. But I really did enjoy the PB&J montage. I don't know what it was, but it clicked for me. And I guess I have to reluctantly thumb it up because I would have middled it and it got close to a down, but yeah, that montage was real fun. It was real fun.
What a thumb journey.
Yeah. Sometimes the fingers clench and it feels like it's going down, but then something comes, light shines from the heavens and it starts turning back up. It's the war of the eternal war of good versus evil, light and dark, Jesus and the devil. Thumb it.
What do you thumb it, Calder?
I thumbed it up. I thought the sandwich making and all was pretty funny. Okay. I don't know if it was repetitive or not, but if it was, it didn't bother me.
Okay. Well, then you are their target audience, and that's good. They know their audience.
Wow, that felt like a pretty hardcore diss right there.
No, it means that there are people that enjoy this, and that's why they're doing it.
Yeah, that's why they're doing it for people like you, Calder. Okay. Way to go.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm on the outs.
That's what I would expect from you. It's like,
oh my God. You know I'm not saying these words.
I'm reading between the lines, and I'm pretty sure that that's what you intend.
Anyways, so the next bit is Tony Schiavone. Wait, I middled it.
Yeah.
Did I thumb it? I middled it. Tony Schiavone, Don Callis, Hobbs, Takeshita. They have the painting up and he seems to have added some faces.
Yes.
It's like, I was like, I wonder if he's going to have 12 so that they'll all be filled in or something. That'd be kind of neat. This is really good. February 22nd, 1998, Hobbs's grandma got tickets to meet Jericho. And they're in the front row, which is a big deal. Front row seats, always a big deal. And so,
I'll say that I don't especially care to hear hard dates about like how old somebody was, like Hobbs.
I was worried he was about to say that was the day I was born or some shit.
I'm
like, fuck you.
I mean, he was only 7, so it's not a whole lot better.
No,
but anyway, you know, he got mistreated by Jericho and his grandma, which is like, whoa, you don't fuck with anybody's grandma, dude. anyways, that was a great story. And then Kyle Fletcher comes out because Don's been talking shit about Kyle Fletcher because he lost. So then Don comes out, Kyle Fletcher comes out and he's like, I was doing you a favor. He's like, I was doing a favor for your, that Australian your, where it's like a U with an R in there somewhere.
I was just watching a YouTube video about accents, because that's what I do when I'm not watching wrestling. I'm watching linguistics videos, and they're talking about that sound that Australians make, and it's fascinating how they got to like nar.
Yeah, it's really funny. I love watching shows with Australian comedians where they like really play that up. That's like the best. Anyways, Chris Lilly, Kath and Kim, although they don't do it, some of the characters on the show and Kath and Kim do it. I just whatever, blah, blah, blah. Point is, this was great. Kyle Fletcher comes out and basically is like, you know, I have another chance. I have another shot. And I have a shot with Kenny Omega himself. So you tell me, you know, I'm the one that could do this for you, you know. So it was interesting. I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, me too. I thought, like, especially like what Hobbs did was pretty strong. Callis did his usual Callis thing.
Okay. I middled this because I like hearing stories about Hobbs. The Book of Hobbs thing's great, but this one, like, it just doesn't make sense. He's a 7-year-old kid, got it. Front row tickets, cool. Going to see his favorite wrestler, Jericho, also great. And as far as I know, this is all legit. All really happened. Wonderful. And then he was mean to him and his mom. And so he grew up to be a wrestler so that he could beat the shit out of him. Like, even at 7 years old, you gotta understand what a heel in wrestling is. And certainly, you know, the reason why you got into wrestling isn't so that you could hunt a man down. It's because you then got into the art of it. And you're like, oh my God, I would love to do this thing and be a good person or a bad person. And, you know, it just, like,
it's very funny to watch you hung up on this.
It just it doesn't make any sense to me.
The last thing that I was thinking about.
I don't like it. So I middle it because, like, I should like it, but the particular way they've done it. And, of course, yeah.
Because, like, when MJF had this similar story.
Right.
With CM Punk, you did like that.
Because he was a little bit older. And the way he went about it was like, I idolized you, you know, and then you destroyed my vision of, you know, who you are. Whereas this one, like, if you enjoyed Jericho as a 7-year-old, you were enjoying him being a dick. And so when he is a dick to you, you should be like, hey, he spit on me or whatever. You don't just go like, oh my God, what is, you know, how dare he, you know, speak ill of my grandmother or something. It just, yeah, it didn't hit.
But I mean, if someone is going to make a heel, then someone has to take it seriously. And as a child, you know, he probably didn't make a big deal out of it. But now that he is in the world of wrestling, he has to take it seriously because this is the contract we've all signed up for, where they believe each other's shit, right? So he believes then that he wasn't just being a wrestler. He was being a dick to his grandma,
right? You know what? Then sell me on the grandma ahead of time. Tell me about your grandma, what a wonderful person she is.
He did. She raised him.
Right. But I need more. I need weeks.
Oh, God. You need more. Never enough for you.
No. Yeah. It's it's just a storytelling thing. And again, given that there were multiple times that this happened during the episode where they're like two storylines that are real close to each other and they just throw them in there because like whatever. And then you're just like, oh, well, I mean, didn't we just do this 15 minutes ago? Why are we seeing the same story again? So, you know, I didn't down it. I middled it.
Okay. Calder, did you thumb it?
I thumbed it up.
Me too. Then we have Kenny Omega come out because the match between Kenny Omega and Kyle Fletcher is about to happen.
There ain't nothing wrong with this.
There was this really funny moment where Kenny lands outside of the ring and the camera's like right next to him and he does this little aside to the camera and it was so amazing. And I wish I could have heard better what he was saying because I'm sure it was great. I'm like,
not the same tech that did the 13 days.
What a great way to utilize the camera. I mean, it was just like breaking the fourth wall. It was like a sitcom. It was awesome. It was so good.
Yeah. Kenny knows this shit backwards and forwards.
Mm-hmm. Fucking A.
No kidding.
So yeah, that was cool. But something to note that Snoop Dogg wrote a song for Grubhub. Mm. So, important. I mean,
is this what's happening when amazing Tony Storm stuff is happening? You're like,
yeah.
Oh, what's that? Pizza.
I'm sorry. Snoop Dogg wrote a song for Grubhub. That's no trivial thing.
Snoop Dogg is an old man who has a lot of bills to pay. And
why do you assume he has a lot of bills?
He doesn't have bills. He has money he makes all over the fucking place. He will endorse anything. He said so himself. He came up with the term on the fly on the Conan O'Brien show, Chicken Noodle Snoop. And he said, Campbell's, get at me. The man is a marketing genius and he doesn't give a fuck. He will, if you pay him, he will sponsor it, as witnessed by someone we know's dad had a terrible champagne or something that Snoop Dogg was like, okay, yeah, endorse it. Anyways,
no problem with any of that.
I mean, but I just love all the things that he does in the commercial vein because I just think it's just funny because like when we were growing up, he was like so. Woo-hoo. Like, you know, people accused him of murder and all this. And then he like was innocent, whatever. I mean, he was like a bad boy. And now he's like literally everywhere. And it's awesome.
Ice-T had the police like demand he pull his album that had the song Cop Killer on it, mm-hmm. then spent the next 30 years as a cop on TV.
Yeah, I love Ice T too. He's funny.
He is also great.
Playa hate his ball. Anyways. So anyway, this is a great match. Kenny Omega and Kyle Fletcher. How could it go wrong? It didn't go wrong anywhere. There were some great moments, and I don't even know what else to highlight because the aside to the camera was my favorite part, even though there's so many things that Kenny can do. And every time he does these crazy flips and stuff, I was thinking to myself, he has vertigo. The man has vertigo.
Yeah.
Like, I hope he doesn't have it today. But anyways, I gave it a big thumbs up because I really liked it. And Kenny won.
Yeah. No, it was absolutely fantastic.
That was great. Love, yeah.
Danhausen TV. Fuck yes. He's almost back.
Yep. Now that the promos move from Rampage to Dynamite, that's how you know it's getting closer.
Yeah. And I'm wondering how close. Do you think it'll happen before LA?
Who knows?
It's impossible to tell. At LA.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Be really neat, guys. Because that would be the second time we were at a show where someone we really liked came back. Because Adam Cole came back while we were witness to it.
Yeah.
That was neat. He cried. I cried.
Who cried?
Will you cry when Danhausen comes back?
I don't know. If he comes out with his teeth jar, if he comes I'll with cry. Teeth.
Yes, 100%.
Agree. I will be so happy. Just joyful tears will be bursting out of my face like those cartoons. They're just like fountains out of the eyes on the sides. It'll be like that. You know what I mean?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Feeling it.
So yeah. Oh, by the way, thumbs up, Omega. Thumbs up for Danhausen.
Yes.
Yes and yes.
Okay. We've got the Murder Hawk Monster, Lance Archer. Still not a fan of that hair, but doesn't matter.
He has cut out the beard, so now it's not.
Yeah, he did cut out the beard. That I like. Against Barrett Brown, which I had to wait a minute to figure out what the fuck the guy's name was.
Yeah, yeah.
They did get it in there.
They did.
Yeah. So, Justin did manage to say it, but it was, you know, kind of lost.
I don't know. I was thinking, should he move away? And here's the trouble we have with having Wardlow and Lance Archer doing similar things. Mm. Is that when Lance Archer did his Everybody Dies thing, and he said it out loud before he did some powerbomb thing, and then he has a song and whatever. And I was like, should he move away from that? Is that like not serving him anymore? Should he say thank you for your service and let take it to Goodwill? You know what I mean?
You know what? I was about to violently disagree with you, but then when you said, you know, thank you for your service, I'm like, okay, you know what? Got a point.
I realized you were saying like that he would say thank you to your service to Everyone Dies, and not that you were saying like that his new slogan would be thank you for your service.
Oh, okay. I guess I misunderstood it then, because that's what I thought was happening here.
No, he's saying to his old gimmick, thank you for your service, but you no longer fit my life.
No, I want his new gimmick to be thank you for your service, and then powerbomb them.
I mean, that'd be kind of neat, right? If someone's like so unrelentingly kind, yep. Or just like polite, mm-hmm. And the like, you're at a bad dinner party, but you just have really good manners, so you can't stop like being really like. Cheerful and accommodating at a place you'd rather not be.
Yep.
And you just want to leave real bad, but mm-hmm. your manners, mm-hmm. they tell you to not do that.
Is there anybody who is more well-mannered than the Murder Hawk Monster Lance Archer on the AEW roster? I would say no.
Well, if he says thank you for your service and then powerbomb someone, I mean, mm-hmm. That's very polite.
I think yeah. the current Tony Storm has a very polite manner of speaking.
True enough.
I gave this a thumbs up, and I was happy to see Lance Archer back, because I had been thinking about how he'd been gone for a while, mm-hmm. and it makes me sad because he just hasn't clicked and hasn't found his thing that clicks with the audience that I can tell. Look, I'm a nobody, know nothing. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't Confirmed. Speak for everybody. But it just seems to me, because he doesn't click with me, he doesn't click with anybody else. So I worry about those wrestlers that haven't clicked. I worry mm-hmm. about them. I worry yep. about Tony Nese. I worry yep. about, you know, Ryan Nemeth, but more specifically the Wingmen.
Yeah.
I worry about, you know, all these guys that are like around, but you might not see them for months and months.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also thumbed this up. It was interesting contrasting it with the Wardlow segment, because this one really did seem to work better.
Yeah. There was more of a fight.
I I did thumb it up, but the note that I made was you get one squash. Like the first one is going to be impressive as you come in, you know, a smushy, a little person. And then the second time we'll see, maybe, you know, if you keep up the intensity, that's it. And then from like the third on, I'm like, you better have something. And that's the problem with Wardlow is like at the beginning, I was like, okay, yeah, let's see where this goes. And now I have no interest at all. So right. If that's what he does, then I'm also going to, that noise will emanate from my mouth unbidden. Mm-hmm. I will not be able to control it.
And when you say noise, you don't mean the Australian nice.
Noise.
Yeah. At this farmer's market, you only get one squash.
Oh, come on.
Well, that's the title of this episode.
That's the rules. they're just so in hot demand right now. You can only get one. It is October.
That's not what the weather says.
Right?
Yeah, the weather doesn't say it's October. Calendars do.
Yeah, those fucking Gregorians.
Mm-hmm.
Any hoodles? Okay, so we all thumbs this.
Yeah.
So then we have Swerve's video. I like it. We got a preview of it. The video for Big Pressure, which is his song.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be debuting soon on YouTube. And then like there was a Swerve and Prince Nana promo. I loved it. I fucking love Nana so
mm-hmm,
much.
Mm-hmm.
Also, his Swerve's jacket said Emotions, and I immediately looked this shit up. And I mean, I might buy it. It's like not out of someone's range. Is it the amount of money I want to buy a jacket for? No.
How much is it?
Well, it depends. The cheapest one was like these pastel colors. That's the only one I'd be able to afford. The rest went up by $100 per color. Like the red was $100 more than the pastel one. And then the black was like $200 more.
Oh.
Yeah. The price.
I mean, you really want the black one, I think.
Well, I wanted the same one he had, but the pastel one looks pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you guys want to look for it, I mean, it's out there. It exists. Anyways, I love this segment so much. Big, huge thumbs up from me.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was really good.
I think, I
loved it so much. And just recently, remember when TK went on his rant about how WWE tried to poach wrestlers while his mother was sick and all that?
I don't remember that.
Oh, this is an online thing.
Yeah, he tweeted a bunch of stuff, and you know,
he tweeted like twice, I think.
Yeah, but it was honestly, it's not a good look. I never like it when he does it. But he was basically like, "Fuck the WWE, this is personal." And one of the things he's saying is like they try to poach people. The two people apparently, it was reported that he's talking about. Is one Steven Regal, which
happened,
but the other one was Swerve. Like WWE wanted to get him back. Apparently, he was doing a thing called Hit Row.
Hit Row, yeah.
I don't recall that ever, but it sounds awful. Hmm. But
it was getting over.
But could you imagine like going back to do a gimmick, maybe making a lot of money? Or doing this where he gets to do exactly what he wants and he's so good at it. We wouldn't have gotten this stuff if he got stuck back there.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, the money is money, though.
It so is.
I would get that.
Wait, money's money?
Money's money.
True. True story.
True story.
But I feel like he probably wouldn't have gotten to do music the way he wants to do it, and he probably would have had to give them like an 80% cut because you're only a star because of us, whereas
that's true, he wouldn't be able to make any outside money.
Yeah.
Because that's their whole thing.
And get on fucking Twitch.
Mm-hmm. Which is such bullshit.
But yeah, I'm so happy that Swerve is here. I want them to push him to the moon because every time they give him something, he fucking knocks it out of the park.
So yeah. Far out of the park, you'd forget what game they're playing.
Yep. He's playing Spaceball.
Spaceball.
Spaceball?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Sparshball? Yep. Sparshball.
Sparshball. No, Swerve really like did sell his discontent like so well like in this promo, so that was really good.
Like the way he does the thing with Nana, where he's like, "Oh yeah, this is really great, huh? Yeah, I'm so everything should be so wonderful. Then why am I not happy?
Yes. Why am I not happy, Nana?
Oh, it's just
I mean, yeah. That's the question all of us have to answer at some point in our lives, right?
It is.
Then why? Maybe there's no answer.
Why, yeah. Nana? Why?
Why, Nana?
Why, Nana? Why?
Why, Nana? Da, 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 da.
Why, Nana? Why, Nana? Why, Nana? Hmm. Are we going to talk about wrestling at any point?
I don't think so. I was planning on thumbing this up, though.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
All right, so we got Shivani and Sting in the ring. And when Sting said, before we get to the word, I was like, oh, fuck you. No.
I didn't even put together that was the word he was talking about, because he's like, before I really? Get to that word, I'm like, what? What's it?
What did you think he could be just talking to us about except for that?
No idea. But I was just like, you go, man. You're like,
not even paying attention. Boop, boop, boops.
That was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, most people, no doubt. Because like when he said it, I was like, oh, yeah, well, obviously that's what he's talking about. But like, here's me as a dumbass, just kind of like boobling along, not knowing what's what.
That's all right.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, we all know, I hate to like thumb up something that hurts so much. But in terms of making me feel, like that freaking did it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm like,
terribly upset.
I like from the moment he came in, I'm like, ugh, why? We don't need this. We don't need latter days of WCW where they were just paying too much money to old dudes who wouldn't do anything, would just like lounge around and collect paychecks. Why? And then every goddamn time I'm like, he's, you know, I don't want to see him. Oh God, that was amazing.
Yeah.
No, he's back. Why is this old man? Oh, Jesus. This is really good. Like, oh yeah, he is accentuating his strengths. He's covering up his flaws. Like, there is never a point where I'm like, this is subpar. I don't want to just like, God damn it. Every kind of like Swerve. Every time I expect him to just be there, he plays Spaceball. He plays Spaceball.
Spaceball.
He's so good. And he mentioned, like, should I be jumping off balconies? And there was that one that went awry. Sure. Everything else he did landed well.
Yeah.
So, you know, he did a great job as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So, it's just a bummer. No more Sting.
Well, not until next year.
March.
Yeah.
So we've got some months left, but that's like, you know, that's not very long.
No, that's true.
True.
Sadness.
Mm-hmm. But like.
But he did a good job.
It's 100% him going out on his own terms.
Mm-hmm.
So like.
Yeah. And you know, he could have gotten a nasty concussion, or there could be something else that's wrong that he's like, I just don't feel like, you know, messing with what my health might be, because he's already at a certain age where I'm sure some shit's caught up with him.
some stuff. All of the stuff. The man all is in his 60s.
Oh, no.
I'm like 20, 30 years younger. I'm dying.
It seems like some stuff is caught up to you. Going. Goodness.
I can't stop laughing. That's funny. Though it's so well timed, too.
Yeah.
I may not be funny, but my body knows funny.
Yeah. Anyways, your body has good timing. Yeah.
I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Last match is Revolution 2024.
Yeah.
All right. So then we've got Toni Storm during a Gone with the Storm, which is a silent film. Yes. I liked this because it was like really more of a true silent film where they had word cards and then like the actual film part. That this is definitely an improvement.
This has legs.
Yeah. This was exactly what I was asking for the last time they did this.
Yeah, that's what I assumed.
It was a planned thing as opposed to her doing charades.
Yeah, just winging it.
Even still, though, some of the best bits were basically just her doing charades, like eating a banana without peeling it and just chewing through it, then just sticking it in her pants. What? Why? Why? No idea. Doesn't make any sense. You know what? Just go with it. It feels like they just like went into a soundstage and were just like, give me one of those. Give me one of those. Let's just, I don't know, slap something and just went and just did a whole bunch of bits, which is, I mean, just a great way to make a living.
Let's do some bits, man.
Do some bits.
Yeah, this was pretty strong. It was easy. It was fairly easy to pay attention to this through the commercial break.
I guess unless Snoop Dogg is selling what, Campbell's? Is that what he's doing?
Look, I have to be honest. I didn't watch her exclusively.
Oh, God
damn it, Teresa!
I couldn't.
Why do you hate women?
I have been trained my entire life since birth to pay attention to commercials. You know, true. I can't help it. I've bought into it. It's now a part of me.
Tool of capitalism.
Yeah. I'm a tool. But so are you.
This is very true. There was one mention in the cards that like, you'll even get a butler service. I would love it if she got a butler.
Just
some huge dude in a tuxedo who would interfere in matches so that she can like win in shitty ways. Just full goofy ass heel.
Yes. I want that also. Damn, dude. That'd be fucking cool as hell. Yeah, that'd be
pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Well, anyways, it was good. I give it a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Yep, same.
Then we got JR talking to Nick Wayne and Nick Wayne's mom. Go ahead.
I feel like they started airing this during the commercial because it felt like it cut in like partway through.
I didn't get that.
It did sort of seem to start abruptly, I guess.
But all of his shit starts abruptly. I feel like they don't give it his segments like enough space anymore. But I also think that they always they tend to be running over lately because they're giving certain people too much time. You know what I mean?
Yay.
And then they're just like eating out of other people's segments.
That could be. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Anyways.
What did you think of this in general?
I didn't really like it. Look, Nick Wayne's mom is not a promo artist. Okay.
What?
She is a wrestler, but an indie wrestler.
I didn't know that. Okay. Well, she's not a promo artist. And if she is, she doesn't often do it as character of mom.
Yeah.
And I feel like if she'd tightened it up a little bit, she was just kind of rambling.
Yes.
And then they eventually had to cut her off. Like Nick Wayne eventually had a reaction. but it's like, you know, should have been shorter. All of this should have been shorter. Then Nick Wayne calls his mom you were a terrible mother or some bullshit. And Christian said, father figure I should have had. And then it goes behind a closed door. They hear this crazy noise and Darby attacked Christian Cage and Nick Wayne. Then they end up on the ramp and then Luchasaurus comes out and then Sting comes out. It was just, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to down it, but I'm being really nice about it. Because it could be a down, but I'm middling it.
Okay. I know what you're talking about with Nick Wayne's mom. You can tell because she says son so many times in the way that you would when you're in front of the camera and you know you're supposed to emote and show, establish the relationship as opposed to being natural. And because like, I don't call my kid son when I'm talking to him. I call him by his name. Just like say like, Nick, no, don't do this. Nick, please listen to me. I'm your mother. Nick. I also, that happens a lot of times too with the word brother. It sticks out to me a lot of times in scripts and stuff where someone was like, come on, brother, we're going to the store. And I don't
love it when people find ways to, like when they start a scene or they open a film or something like that, the beginning of introduction of character.
How long have we been business partners?
It's one of my favorite things to see how
I'll give you the first one. But if you're still doing it 5 minutes in, no, that's not how human beings talk.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, but it's like funny because you could do it a slick way where you're introducing the character without like saying, hi, John, I'm your mom and I've known you now for your age, which is 32 years, and, you know, and you're the best editor at the Cincinnati newspaper, you know, good morning. Here's your breakfast, right? Like you can do. That's not a good way. But there's other ways they do it.
Where now it's I know like everything about them.
You don't even realize these things are being introduced to you. They just are. And so I like seeing that on stage. I like seeing it in improvised scenes, how slick someone can do it. But I also find it funny when it's really clunky and shitty. because at some point you have just to be like, all right, this is you and this is me. Anyways, whatever.
Yeah. Because they then segged it into Darby coming in to kick the crap out of Nick, and then it's spilling out into the arena, and then Sting comes out, you know, and it just becomes a whole thing. All of that was as a piece worked for me. And it also kind of raised my antenna because I was like, oh, goodness, are we going to get Edge and Sting as part of a six man? That would be really interesting.
Interesting.
So
they have history, right?
I don't think so. I think that's part of it. It's like, I don't think they ever wrestled before.
Okay.
Together or against.
Okay. Interesting. The plot thickens.
Indeed.
So anyways, yeah. I middled it, right? Yeah, I middled
it. I upped it.
Yep.
Okay.
What'd you thumb it, Chan?
I upped it. I upped it, yeah.
We've got Renee with the best friends, Hook, and Statlander. Statlander says she's going to go and go up against Willow Nightingale for the belt. She's giving Willow an opportunity. So, yeah, that's cool. Then we had Orange Cassidy. Okay, first, the best friends were peeling oranges, which is funny. And then Orange Cassidy is saying something about the belt. He's like, you know, you don't know what you've got until it's gone, basically. And he did not do a great promo here. I normally like his promos. I actually didn't like this one. So this whole thing gets a middle.
Yeah, it was a middle for me as well. I think it was just kind of the general tone of it, which was a little bland, even with the orange, which was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Agreed. I get that, yeah. Yeah. Middle, too.
Yeah, middle's all around.
Middle's all around, baby.
Bing bong. We've got the Battle Royale. The Acclaimed, when they came out, they had some really good zingers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know it's a good rap if they get censored at some point.
Assholes doesn't feel like something that ought to be censored, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, I don't think anything should ever get censored because I love swearing. I love it.
Love it.
Anyways, I thought this was good. So Johnny TV danced, and then Garcia was about to dance. Jeff, then Jeff danced, and he did it weird. And so the announce desk, like, were like, that's a little too much hip. And then they just couldn't stop laughing about it. MJF walks out to the ring at one point, gives Dustin some money to – like hit Juice in the dingus
to do a Shattered Dreams.
MJF made a Gremlins reference because he was on the announce desk and he literally had to tell the others it's a Gremlins reference. It's so weird. It's like, it's not even of his era. You know, those guys he's sitting with should fucking know a Gremlins reference.
It's more their time than his, for sure.
Yeah. And, because, like, they were older, you know, when Gremlins came out. But still, they should still know Gremlins. In fact, feed him trash after midnight. Come on. So, anyways, these were funny things. Garcia tries to dance. There's a couple times he tried to dance when Johnny TV did it and whatever, where he pulls his arms up. And the way that he baits the audience to get them to like, I fucking love it. I'm so proud of him because this is like I didn't used to like Garcia, and this whole shtick of his, I take him very seriously as a wrestler, even though he does this dumb shit. It is awesome. Like I can buy it, you know, I buy. Right?
That's the sweet spot, same as Tony Storm. Like,
yes.
He established your credibility as a goddamn wrestler.
Yes.
Now she's doing wacky stuff. And you're like, yes, wacky person and wrestler, like the two go together.
I buy that you are a good wrestler who can dance your moves. like the dance gives you power.
Yeah, it's a power-up dance.
And you've got to attribute some of it to Jericho.
Oh, for sure.
You know, coaching him on how to, you know, just handle
get
this
to that sweet spot. Yeah.
But he's such he's really kind of a natural at it. Like, he takes to it very easily.
Yeah, he does. But
like the arms, like 100%, that's watching Orange Cassidy. You're like, okay. Like, you do this large build, you know, you bring your arm, you could get into it, and then
I mean, you could say Orange Cassidy, but you could also say Penta. You could also say, there's a lot of wrestlers that have a shtick thing that they get the audience on board with early.
And just work it.
Build it. To the point where Penta does this with lots of things, not just the Cerro Miedo, but also the glove, like there's lots of stuff he does to get the audience to be like, ooh. Anyway, so then Garcia tries to dance, but Daddy Magic kicks him or like hits his arms down, and the announce staff says, Daddy says no. I died. I spit. I was laughing so hard. Daddy says no.
Pretty good.
Oh, it was too good. And then the way Garcia dances, hilarious. JY attacks MJF at the desk.
What?
And then it was all this craziness with the belt back and forth. Jay gets a low blow, blah, blah, blah. I don't know why I'm recapping. That's not what we do here.
The point is, we're not about letting you know any more about the show than
the show
you
just watched. Yeah. But Juice wins. So, you know, it spells trouble for MJF.
Indeed.
I kind of love Juice doing like ring antics with a cheap ring the way he's doing.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
And I've never been a fan of the punch as a finisher. There have been a variety of different kinds. Like back before The Undertaker was The Undertaker, he was Mean Mark Callis, and his finisher was the heart punch. He'd punch you in the chest and it would stop your heart and you'd just keel over. There's been a lot of those that are just wonky as hell, but this one, his left hand of God is, I don't know, just weirdly appealing. And then you add the ring to it and it's just great, great What's stuff.
The Jesus part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that was the show.
Yeah, that's the show, baby.
That was the show. Did we all like the last bit?
I actually ended up thumbing up the Battle Royale.
Yeah, me too.
There was enough fun bits in there, and I could follow what was happening, which isn't always the case, so that was cool.
Nice.
Where does that put us?
I'm doing the math. Give me a minute.
Hurry up. What are we supposed to do? Do a sing-off or something?
Singing.
88% show.
Oh.
It's a crotch party right up in here. Why don't you click on this?
Crotch party.
Doll?
Crotch party.
Oh my God. I talk about peanut butter and you're like, how dare you? And now you're all like, lick at my crotch. Lick at my crotch.
I was doing a Step Brothers reference, but I also didn't say how dare you when it came to peanut butter. Just when you were saying, referencing peanut butters and dogs and my noonie.
I would not say noonie. I have no class for that. Thank you very much.
All right.
This was a pretty good show. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Fun. Yeah. Pretty, fairly strong. There's a million segments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Millions and millions.
Millions and millions.
And they went over, but yeah, it came out pretty good on average.
I enjoyed, at one point, I enjoyed the days when it was routine for Raw to go over like 8-10 minutes. It got irritating eventually because like it just became part of the show. But when it was, there was a sweet spot in there where it's like, oh my God, we're going over. Oh my God, what are we doing here? This is kind of naughty, isn't it?
That's funny.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, dang-ding, dang-ding-doom. Sorry, there's someone going bananas on my neighbor's door and banging it around, and it's distracting both me and my cat.
Perhaps
we don't
your neighbor.
Have a lot of crazy knockers around here, so it's alarming. Anyway,
I've seen some crazy knockers in my day, I'll tell you.
I was gonna make a joke, and I was like, that just seems you don't need to be talking about Teresa's.
You would have done it if you had to, like another second or two to think about it.
That's so true. No, don't act like you were above it.
No,
don't.
I'm telling you, in my head, I was running through jokes. I was like, all right, how do I talk about Teresa's boobs without being gross about it or
you
weird?
You talk about boobs in general. That's how you do it.
That's what I
don't have me possess them.
Anybody can.
Why do I have to possess them?
Somebody else possess
them? Just because I'm a girl. You can make a joke about boobs without making it about the person you're talking to. Are you learning lessons right now? Is this like news to you?
No, it just doesn't appeal to me. It's not my bag, man.
Oh, because you like to degrade someone, and that's your kink.
100%. Yes.
Yeah, someone has to lose.
How's that not clear? Why?
Okay.
How long have we been doing this?
That's funny. Let's see what else.